to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 19, 2021. 8 people are killed during clashes with cattle keepers in Central Equatoria State.
3 or 4 days back, there were information which comes that 2 cattle keepers went missing. And then their colleagues tried to follow them after 2 days. And also they fell into an ambush, whereby 3 were injured.
And a new report says tensions remain high in Sudan's Darfur region.
What is important is that the transitional government in Sudan is assisted in terms of training of their security forces, in terms of capacity building and security sector reform. But also the partners that help Sudan along this transition should advocate for human rights and the protection of civilians.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Central Equatoria State say at least 8 people were killed in a gunfight in Kajokeji County on Thursday. The commissioner of Kajokeji County says a confrontation between cattle keepers and locals in Sokare village developed into a gun battle. The bishop of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan in Kajokeji confirmed the incident. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
Kajokeji County Commissioner Kenyi Erasto says preliminary findings indicate a group of cattle keepers from Jongole State attacked some local residents to revenge an earlier attack on cattle keepers.
There were information which comes that 2 cattle keepers went missing. And then their colleagues tried to follow them after 2 days. And also they fell into an ambush, whereby 3 were injured and were taken to Juba for medication. And then yesterday we heard of that. And then possibly this hatch of revenge has happened.
Commissioner Erasto confirmed 8 people were killed by cattle herders. He identified 7 of the murdered civilians as 5 local residents of Kajokeji and 2 Ugandans. Wilson Lodiong, a lawmaker representing Kajokeji in the National Legislative Assembly, says the attack occurred yesterday after the cattle keepers first clashed with National Salvation Front, led by General Thomas Cirillo. He says the cattle keepers attacked civilians.
According to the report I'm getting, that they were very much disappointed when they were killed, when they attacked the nurse, and the nurse could not give them any space. And most of them got killed, and they could not kill any of the nurses. So, when they withdrew, they just want a revenge on the civilian.
Nurse spokesperson Soba Samuel disputes that account.
These are allegations. What could have been caused the fighting between us and the people keepers, and then the killing of the civilian? This is not true, but what I've heard is that some cattle keepers went and killed around 9 people. So this is what we heard.
Lodiong says most of the civilians who were killed lived in his home village of Limi.
These people are peacemongers. They were innocent people. Yes, they were attacked. And I'm told the people that were killed are 8, and some are said to be thrown into a river. So people are trying to inspect how many are not there and how many are there.
Lodiong says local and national authorities need to focus on implementing the revitalized peace agreement. He says deadly attacks like this one threaten efforts to restore peace in Kajokeji and across the country. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus by phone from Kajokeji, Anyek Chaplin, chairperson of the Kajokeji Youth Association, says despite yesterday's incident, the situation is calm in the county.
So when these messages go back to the refugees in the camp, they feel insecure, and for us also we feel this insecure, because where the incident happened is where we get our fish. It happened along the river. So it is something that is not really wanted at this time when people are returning back to Kajokeji.
Chaplain is urging authorities to intervene. Right Reverend Emmanuel Murie, Bishop of the Diocese of Kajokeji of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, confirmed 8 civilians were killed in the attack. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Global Center for the Responsibility to Protect says despite the October 2020 peace agreement signed by various warring parties in Sudan, tension in Sudan's Darfur remain high with increased in militia attacks. The rights watchdog, which mobilizes the international community to act in situations where populations are at risk of mass atrocities, says the UN Security Council should provide assistance to Sudan's transitional government in areas of peace building, security, justice, and accountability. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
The Global Center for the Responsibility to Protect says intercommunal violence and militia attacks have escalated in Sudan since the start of 2021, particularly in West and South Darfur. It says disputes over land ownership and competition for scarce resources between herder and farming communities have sparked violent clashes which are often ethnically motivated, resulting in hundreds of people being killed and thousands displaced. Juliet Power is a senior research analyst at the New York-based center. She says the steep increase in violence in West and South Darfur started less than a month after the end of the mandate of the United Nations African Union mission in Darfur, known as UNAMID.
We see that evidence of like a critical gap in the protection of civilians, because UNAMID was there with military force to protect civilians in Darfur. And with them withdrawing, there is this security vacuum that the government now needs to fill. We see an evidence of these critical gaps in the protection of civilians, increased tensions and violence in many parts of Sudan, including in the Darfur regions. And intercommunal violence also continues to pose a risk to civilians, and the increase in number of violent incidents in the beginning of this year.
The group says since the military ousted President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019, the transitional government has been unable to effectively protect civilians against step-up violence in the Darfur region despite a peace agreement signed between the government and a coalition of armed groups from Darfur, South Kordofan, and Blue Nile State to end 20 years of fighting.
Sudan is assisted in terms of training of their security forces, in terms of capacity building and security sector reform, but also the partners that help Sudan along this transition should advocate for human rights and the protection of civilians and should ensure the inclusion of civil society organizations and community protection networks, because it has been eventually the civil society organizations in the country, including women leaders organizations, that have been able to get rid of al-Bashir's regime and establish a joint military and civilian government.
Power notes civil society groups, including women's organizations, were the driving force behind the revolution that led to Bashir's ouster. She says Sudan should be expanding women's participation in government and peace-building processes so that they become agents of change as is stipulated in the constitutional document and the 2020 peace agreement.
It has been extremely disappointing, in my opinion, that women has not been included to the extent that they should be included. I think that only a couple of positions have been filled by women, and this is not meeting the quota that was established. So they need to be included in those peace processes. They are an important voice for, like, as agents of change, to provide reconciliation.
The center notes that during Bashir's 30 years in power, government forces and government-backed militias committed crimes against humanity, war crimes, and acts of genocide against civilians while fighting armed groups in South Kordofan, Blue Nile, Darfur, and elsewhere. Bauer says Bashir, who is in prison on corruption charges, and all former officials implicated in atrocity crimes must be held accountable.
Still on Sudan, Sudanese parties who signed the Sudan Comprehensive Peace Agreement in Juba are renewing commitments to implement the agreement. The parties reviewed progress made in implementing the agreement during the last 6 months of the transitional period. Sudanese officials say implementing a federal system of governance in the country will allow equal service delivery. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Speaking in Khartoum at this week's roundtable discussion aimed at highlighting the importance of the federal system of government, some parties said the recent formation of the cabinet, which is composed of all signatories to the Juba Peace Agreement, demonstrates the willingness of all parties to begin a new era in Sudan. Suleiman Al-Daballo, the head of Sudanese Peace Commission, says Sudan's old way of doing things caused imbalances in service delivery and prompted people to take up arms against the central government in Khartoum. Al-Daballo says the Juba peace deal has offered an opportunity for political elites in Sudan to create and build a new systems that will allow equal distribution of resources.
The Juba Peace Agreement has empowered regions and local administration and the people, instead of centralizing the power in Khartoum only. There were many attempts to transfer power from Khartoum to states, but that was just a political game.
The head of Sudan's Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, issued a decree earlier this month establishing a federal system of government per the Juba Peace Agreement. The decree stipulates that the federal system of government will be implemented after a conference is convened that defines the regions, their number, borders, structures, and level of governance. The transitional government signed a peace deal with a coalition of 9 rebel groups called the Sudan Revolutionary Front in October last year. The Juba Agreement brought an end to fighting in some parts of Darfur, the Nuba Mountains, Blue Nile, and Eastern Sudan. Mini Arko Minawi, who heads the Darfur-based rebel group Sudan Liberation Movement, said during the program that under the federal system of governance, local governments will be strengthened.
The federal system of governance has a legal delegation of power by law and legislatures. This is one of the fruits of the Juba Peace Deal. We need to see into it that power is dissolved, divided, distributed equally to the grassroots by the law.
A member of the Sudan Sovereign Council, Muhammad Al-Faki Suleiman, said citizens will be able to tell their leaders how they want to see the country governed. Al-Faki says the nationwide conference on Sudan's system of governance will create the opportunity for a lively discussion despite differences in opinion.
People should not be scared about the differences in views. This is a healthy environment. Sudan is a multicultural society full of different schools of thought.
A committee tasked with designing the technical preparation for the conference presented its finding last night to the Council of Ministers, who are expected to discuss it before the plan is endorsed in an upcoming joint meeting of the Cabinet and the Sovereign Council. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, students in South Sudan prepare for university entrance examination. Find out the challenges facing the students after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there something about yourself that you would like to change?
Definitely not. No, because at least I know my life has been good. I've not been entertaining bad company. So to maybe to change my life, I need to start making at least new friends again.
Life is all about learning. We learn every day. So in as much as we are still breathing, there are things we need to shed off.
Currently, I would like to change my tummy. I'm growing a pot belly. So I'm exercising. I've bought an abdomen machine that's helping me to deal with it. And I want to lose weight, probably 5-8 kilos.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Senior 4 candidates are preparing to write the South Sudan Certificate of Secondary Education examination on Monday. Some students express worries about the results of the examination because they say their teachers did not complete school syllabus due to coronavirus-related lockdowns. Some teachers who spoke to VOA say the time given for preparation for the exams was too short following government's decision to close down schools last year. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Classes resumed at schools across the country in October last year after the government lifted the partial lockdown announced a year ago in response to the pandemic. Samson Wani, a candidate at the government's Nile Model Secondary School in Juba, says once the lockdown went into effect 1 year ago, he lost all hope of sitting for his final exams this year.
So we've been complaining about that, especially chemistry and physics and mathematics, as I've told you. We don't have even teachers who will teach us these subjects. So, but you know, whenever you're going to face challenge, so you need to prepare yourself. So we as a student, we plan up with another idea that we collect our own money. We bring particular teachers that will teach us in extra lesson and we pay them by our own.
When he says the students managed to catch up with some subjects like agriculture and biology because they borrowed books from students who finished last year. Esther Fanuel, another science student at Nile Model, says she's worried about the exams but says she will use the remaining days to study topics she has not read.
I'm not ready at all. I didn't study good, but half. Some lessons not going good. And that's why it's not ready. Now it's almost remain for us 4 days, but I'll complete the 25 within these days.
Abdul Wahid Sebit, a history teacher at Nile Model Secondary School, says even though the time frame given to teach students was abbreviated, he completed his syllabuses because he went to class to teach anytime the students were free.
There's many reasons because, you know, even distance can play a role. Maybe the distance they're coming, lack of transportation, and even the transport, if it is there also, maybe they are not available on time. So they have to come late.
David Dengmajok, a candidate at the private Darling Wisdom Academy Secondary School, says teachers have prepared students well for the exams.
We have undergone all, we actually did some exams. Did these past papers. We did a lot, so there's no fear. Since this is not the exam we sat for, we actually started in senior one after this time. So it is just that this one is national exam that most of the people are fearing.
Peter Majak is school secretary at Darling Wisdom Academy Secondary School. He says 5 months was not enough time to prepare students well enough to sit for final exams, but says the school made extra investments in teachers so that the students could revise their work and consult with teachers. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Central Africa, where the Central African Economic and Monetary Community says armed conflicts and the corona pandemic have seriously damaged the 6 member states' economies and put a halt to regional integration. The economic bloc, one of the least developed on the African continent, marked its 27th anniversary this week in Cameroon. For VOA News, Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
The anthem of the Central African Economic and Monetary Community is played Wednesday at Cameroon's Ministry of the Economy and Finance as CEMAC marked its 27th anniversary. But the celebration was subdued as the six-nation trading bloc issued a press release saying conflict and the coronavirus pandemic had damaged its economies and stopped integration. Pandemic restrictions meant very few people were invited to mark CEMAC Day. Instead, the member states Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo held a virtual conference. President of Cameroon's Economic and Social Council, Ayang Luke, read a message from CEMAC chairperson and President of Cameroon, Paul Biya.
Peuple du Cameroun, de la Centrafrique, du Congo, du Gabon.
He says people of Cameroon, the CAR, Congo, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea and Chad should not be discouraged by security and health challenges that countries are facing. Luke says CEMAC is encouraging all its members never to relent in efforts to preserve and promote integration as the only collective way out of poverty and underdevelopment. He says with commitment and determination, COVID-19 will be defeated and peace will return to all CEMAC member states suffering from armed conflict. Years long, insurgencies have plagued Cameroon, the CAR and Chad. Although nearly three decades old, the CEMAC trade bloc is comprised of some of Africa's least developed countries, which have struggled during the pandemic. African Development Bank economist George Meka Abesolo says it will be difficult for Central African states to reach their goal of becoming emerging economies by 2035.
Il y aura toujours un décalage entre les objectifs arrêtés.
He says with the coronavirus pandemic crippling economies and several armed conflicts disturbing the peace, it is very difficult for CEMAC member states to develop. Abesolo says wars and armed crises make Central African states very poor and burdened by financial and economic crises. Equatorial Guinea and Gabon were among CEMAC members that sealed their borders to prevent the coronavirus from spreading. President of the Young Entrepreneurs Forum, Karim Yaoba, says travel restrictions need to be lifted soon to develop Central African economies.
Les jeunes sont ceux-là qui sont en mobilité permanente, qui ont des projets.
He says youths are hardest hit by travel restrictions because they constitute more than 60% of CEMAC's 45 million people. Yaoba says youths have many local economic projects that, if sponsored, can help kick poverty. He says CEMAC national identity cards should be established so people can travel to all member countries when they want. The Central African Economic and Monetary Community says their collective economy is expected to grow by an average 1.2% in 2021 instead of a hoped for 3.4%. CEMAC was created in 1994 in Chad's capital N'Djamena to improve living conditions of members through the free movement of goods and services. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
That's all we prepared for you today. We'd love to hear what you think about this show. My colleague Nabil Biagio is waiting to read interesting comments we received this week from our listeners. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. We have lots of comments about the passing of the Tanzanian president, John Pombe Magufuli. I begin with Saber Isaac Khamis from Yambio in Western Equatoria State, who says, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. Africa has lost one of the world's strongest leaders ever. The late President Dr. John Pombe is one of the African leaders who must be remembered for his patriotism and who stood firm in fighting corruption in his country. My sincere and heartfelt condolences to the people of the United Republic of Tanzania. May his soul rest in peace." Samuel Remo in Yei says, "Hi, John Tanza. There is a dispute between the government and indigenous people of Malakal. I wish the people of Malakal should go for a referendum to determine Malakal municipality. And this listener says, Hi VOA, I'm James Levy from Yambio. Thanks for updating us on events in our country, South Sudan. So everyone has power, but how do we use it as individuals to influence the weak? I beg those individuals to stop supporting violence against the IDPs in the POC in Upper Nile. And concerning fresh fighting in Nasser, it's not acceptable. This is not what the people need to hear right now. All we want is total peace without gunshots. This fan says, Hi VOA, I am Malong Gumater, listening from Rumbek. It's devastating to lose a brave and iconic leader like John Pombe. It's a great loss not only to Tanzania, but to East Africa and Africa at large. May you rest in perfect peace, bulldozer. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Block 3 in Bor says, As fistula treatment is going on in Juba, I urge other states with fistula patients to avail these patients to Juba such that they can be treated because fistula is a serious infection that can cause emotional and psychological effects. Another listener says, It's so sad to lose a leader in the person of President John Pombe Magufuli. He was one in a million. He wrote a good legacy. He deprived the graveyard of good leadership skills and genuine sacrifice. He died empty. He emptied all that was required of him as a leader. Leadership worth emulating. Rest in peace. This listener says, Dear Nabil and John Tanza, kindly send my tribute to the family and people of Tanzania upon the demise of President Magufuli using this song as a special tribute to them. Martin Manuel Wugol, who describes himself as a pan-Africanist living in Uganda, says, Africa and indeed the entire world has lost a conventional and at the same time influential leader who knows what is good for African people. Late President Dr. John Pombe Magufuli, known as Bulldozer, who died from heart disease last night in Tanzania, will be remembered as a practical leader who led by example until his last day on earth. May his soul rest in perfect peace. Amen. And Mate Martin Lawrence from Wau, South Sudan writes, Great African leaders are always classified as dictators. John Pombe Magufuli is far from a dictator. If truth be spoken, then Donald Trump was also a dictator since his actions were worse than those of Magufuli.
Thanks, Nabil. Keep those comments coming. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We now leave you in a dancing mood with the song Tengama by Fabregas.
Ça c'est la nouvelle danse congolaise, la danse d'un côté, Mama Tengama.
We have been listening to Fabregas with the song Tengama. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.